This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
I'm Sudhit Parikh, Senior Vice President and Managing Director, responsible for the DIA Americas. And I'm joined by Dr. Sandra Queter, Deputy Director and Liaison to the EMA, Office of International Programs, OCFDA. That's a mouthful,
that's
Sandy.
Way too much.
Yeah, what you really need to know is that she is a DIA fellow. And then also joined by Dr. Peter Marks, Director of the Center for Biologics Evaluation and Research at the FDA. We're really fortunate to be here at the DIA 2018 Global Annual Meeting in Boston. And Dr. Queter is going to chair the EMA-FDA Question Time Diamond Session tomorrow. And Dr. Marks will be a panelist in the FDA Town Hall session the same day. Dr. Marks has also participated in several other panels, including a really lively one today on precision medicine. Thank you so much for joining us, both of you.
You're welcome.
The sessions tomorrow are going to take a closer look at the EMA-FDA relationship. You know, I'd love to explore that just a little bit. What you think is important, what you think is happening, what's going to be happening in the future. Dr. Queter, in just a few words, can you tell us what areas are going to be covered in the session?
Sure. Yeah, this is actually a fun session because the session is all about the questions of the audience. Uh-huh. We give our speakers very strict instructions. We have a panel of 8 people, 4 pairs uh-huh. of experts from 4 topic areas in FDA and the European Medicines Agency. Uh-huh. We give them 7 minutes in one slide to give an introduction so that we can get through everyone, and then the audience gets to ask the questions.
That's great.
So it's a little bit of a free-for-all. Uh-huh. They get very nervous, but then it's always fine.
That's great.
But the general topic areas that we'll be covering are transparency, mm-hmm. data transparency, pediatrics. Uh-huh. The third one is rare diseases, activities in rare diseases. And the fourth one is pediatrics.
I did say pediatrics.
Right. Why am I'm blanking. There's a fourth one and it'll come to me.
Okay. You know, it's interesting because that's a great format. Did you give them a font size for their slides?
Manufacturing. CMC quality, product quality. How could I forget that one?
Seven minutes, you know, the font size, if it's small, that might be hard.
Yeah, we're tough.
One topic that will probably be discussed tomorrow also is how both agencies can be engaged constructively and effectively to support the development of new globally accessible medicines, particularly in the area of biologics. Dr. Marks, any thoughts on what might be discussed in that time?
What I suspect people may want to talk about is how we achieve some regulatory convergence between the Europeans, the FDA, and perhaps other global regulators. I think everyone's looking, to figure out how they can streamline development programs, and not having to have different regulatory hurdles in different jurisdictions is probably one of the ways we can help with that.
You know, the challenge, of course, is that you've got a European system and a U.S. system that have different points of origin.
Right.
And each system has grown up and built regulations around its original laws. And yet, we're looking at the same information for the most part. So our challenge is to maintain scientific integrity, meet the laws of our land, but within that space, find ways to come together so that we don't have a lot of redundancy, that clinical trial resources, including patients, aren't wasted, really. It's kind of a term I don't like to use lightly, but that we can do things in a way that meets everyone's needs. Takes a lot of work.
I understand that some of the first harmonization efforts started in the 80s,
The late 80s, we started looking at ways to just very simple things like inspections, sharing, you know, who inspected what when. It didn't mean we were sharing the details of those inspections, but we've evolved to a point where we're beginning to do more of that.
Yeah.
And then one of the other big areas that we've been working on for a long time, since the 90s, a little bit since the 90s, but more like about 15 years ago, is pediatrics.
How far do you think we've come in that time? That's a long time. That's 30 years. Have we made significant progress?
Enormous progress. My observation is if you look back at the history of these engagements, when people first started having conversations across Europe and FDA and the US, it was, we're going to just share information. We're not sure about this alignment or harmonization. We're going to share information. And as the scientists start to talk to each other and realize that the challenges are the same.
Yeah.
It really feeds their creativity and their willingness to really roll up their sleeves and solve tough problems together. And it's a wonderful thing to see.
Yeah.
We can't always do it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes there are barriers, and they may be regional practices, regional laws, really strong differences of opinion. You're going to see that.
Yeah.
But where we can particularly plan in advance for more streamlined development, we almost always have an all-around win for everyone.
It seems like there was a point of real progress with the mutual recognition inspections, and that was last year? I think that was last year. It feels like that was momentous, that there was something real on paper that we actually mutually recognized. Do you think anything will slow down due to Brexit? MHRA plays quite a role.
Not related to this, no. No, not related to this. And this particular, the MRA, the Mutual Recognition Agreement that you're talking about, really speaks to sharing information about certain types, you know, it's a selected cohort, but certain types of manufacturing inspections, the ones that are routine surveillance inspections, with the idea of trying to prevent duplication where we possibly can, and learn from each other.
That's great.
Well, it's really good. It's the first time the U.S. has ever done this. Europe has had many of these. They have a number of MRAs with other regions, Canada, for instance. Yeah. But we've not done it before. This is new for us.
Yeah. One of the things I've noted is just the great relationship between you all at the U.S. FDA and your counterparts. That has to take time to build that trust.
It does, and I think Peter would agree.
Yeah.
You know, and as we get to know each other and understand people's perspectives and where they come from, it's natural that people do that. One of the things I always say is, when you're a regulator in a given agency, you're sort of alone. I mean, you have your colleagues around you, but that's, for the most part, the extent of your peer group.
Uh-huh.
And when all of a sudden you have an opportunity to really engage with other regulators, it's exciting. It really is. You hear fresh perspectives and realize that, well, maybe there are other ways to look at this or consider that. And it's fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
That's terrific. Turn to a different subject. Peter, we just came out of a precision medicine diamond session, and it was really, I thought it was fantastic. I learned a lot. You know, one of the things that you said that caught my attention was that we don't know the answers. We don't have a path. Can you speak more to that in terms of, you talked about the risk and benefit?
Yeah, so I think the issue here in precision medicine, there are some things we know a lot about, and other things we still are really learning about. And then there are still other things where we just don't know where we don't know. And I think gene editing is an area where there's still a tremendous amount to be learned. We've made tremendous progress, and there's tremendous promise for helping patients, but there's a lot we need to learn still. And so our goal, I think, is to move forward, help people move forward to get therapies towards the clinic and in the clinic and through to licensure, and at the same time making sure that we're keeping, you know, at least the appropriate level of safety that we need to see so that the benefit risk is maintained for these. Because there is, we do recognize that for different diseases, the benefit risk is different.
Yeah.
You know, for very life-threatening diseases, people will potentially, and the agency understands that more risk can be taken. Whereas when you have diseases that are not life-threatening or less severe, I think one of the good things from that session I learned is certain words we never want to use as regulators. Never use the word slow. We never want to be slow. We're cautious, calculating, and that's where I think the approach has to be. We have to be cautious as we move forward, but obviously want to move things forward as fast as we can.
I thought that was a really telling moment, actually. You know, words mean things,
yeah.
And having gotten to know you all over time, I think, first of all, the FDA is so much more open and transparent than it's ever been in the past. You all have become humanized, if that's not a rude thing to say. Part of that is knowing your own backgrounds. Do you mind if I ask you just a bit, just quickly about your own backgrounds, how you got to FDA? I know that's not part of what we put in the questions here, but I'd love to ask
He's
that
much
question.
More interesting.
No. So I have kind of a strange background, perhaps, for getting to FDA. I started out as in the medical sciences training program. So I'm an MD, PhD, trained at NYU before I got my degrees, then went on to do an internal medicine residency, hematology oncology fellowship here in Boston at Brigham and Women's Hospital. Then after that, went on actually to work in industry for a period of time and worked for a large pharmaceutical firm, and then came back to academics, went back to academics and worked at Yale for several years, helping to direct the clinical service in the Cancer Center. And then about 6.5 years ago, came to FDA as deputy center director of the Center for Biologics, and I took over as director a little over 2 years ago. So it's been incredible for me because I find the FDA is a wonderful way to synthesize a lot of the things I've done in the past.
Yeah, and what I think it really speaks to is you've been in the shoes of the physician trying to treat a patient.
And also the physician trying to treat a patient and the person in industry trying to interact with us and understanding. I think part of what I know is that if we don't speak an intelligible language at FDA, the people who are on the receiving end don't understand it. Because I remember being in industry and sometimes trying to read tea leaves because we got FDA speak, and, right, and I just would rather not be putting people in that place.
That's terrific. I think that's so important. And the fact that you're able to be self-aware, the agency, not just you personally, but self-awareness of the agency is really important.
Yeah. I actually want to pick up on something you said. Yeah, Peter, you just sort of described this background of, you know, kind of come out, you know, sort of the moving in and out of academia, regulatory. But one of the things you said when you were describing the session that you just were in was, what I learned in this session. And I think what's great about some of these sessions for me is, even when we come in as supposedly the experts, right? You know, you're up there talking or you're putting all the experts up there, you almost always learn something.
Yeah.
And you've just got to be open to that.
Yeah.
And when you're particular, and it goes back to my point about interacting with other regulators, we all have things to learn from each other.
Yeah.
And they come up at the most surprising times sometimes. You know?
Right.
But it's wonderful when it does.
Yeah.
No, that's terrific. Well, I really appreciate your time. I want to continue this conversation another time. Maybe you'll agree to it. But for our purposes of our video cast and our podcast, we keep them short and sweet. But you guys are just your normal people, and you're doing great, great work at FDA. And I've made them laugh by saying that. So I'd love to end there. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Come to our sessions.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.